CliffCentral.com.
Yes, indeed. CliffCentral.com. Tuesday morning, live. We're wondering where Bakabantu is. He's sick today. Everybody's getting sick. There's definitely something going around. They say that there's another wave of corona. If that is the case, and we have no reason to believe that that isn't the case, then it's not so great, because it's also giving people an excuse to not go to work. I'm not saying that's Bakabantu's thing, because he hasn't been sick all of the time we've known him. But maybe this is his one little day off that he needed. I don't know. At the same time, I know loads of people who are sick at the moment. They, you know, last Friday, I had three of my friends call me up and say, "Oh, you know those plans we had for the weekend? Not going to make it. Feeling ill." So it's happening. It's definitely a thing that's going on. And there's something in the air. It's also this time of year, like we discussed yesterday. It's, you know, it's bound to happen. All right, so
the weird flu.
The weird flu. Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. So let's hear from you in the comments. You can get hold of us this morning live on YouTube, but you have to like and subscribe. Otherwise, I'm not going to read your comments. I've decided that's the punishment we're going to use. So let us know. We want to hear from you. And then, of course, you can also email us if you've got any ideas, any suggestions, people that you'd like us to interview. You know, there are a couple of really interesting books going around at the moment. I mentioned some of them yesterday on the show. We'll be doing those. We're also planning a couple of new series for you. And if you didn't do it last week, please go and check out our video that we did with BMW for the launch of the new iX. The iX. It's just...
Love that.
Oh, you were there. You were there for the shoot. I mean, that's a great car, yeah. Right? That is a great car.
It really
car.
Is. I even like got to drive it a little bit because I like things. And you know when
I
you
like things
press...
because I love that you say because I like things.
Yeah, I'm just a liker of things, you know, life things of the sort. When I pressed like the start thing, it was just too quiet. I didn't hear a ch-ch-ch-hum. I didn't hear anything. I was quite concerned that crap, this car's actually not on. And Musa was like, "No, just you know, it's on. Let's go." It was smooth. I was like, "Damn! If someone can just e-wallet me 1.7 million or however much I need right now, yeah, let's exactly. make it a thing." It's such a sexy car, dude. Oh my word!
100%. 100% right. Look, go and check out the YouTube video. They give a complete review of the car. So if you're curious about what Lebang and I are talking about now, you might want to see it for yourself. And we've got two real these guys are proper car enthusiasts in every sense of the word. So they go through it from top to bottom. They talk about all the different technology that's been deployed in this vehicle, how the engine works, how far it can go, what its range is. It's an incredible review, essentially, of this car. And if you're interested in vehicles like that, then this is probably the show for you. So just go and check it out on our YouTube channel. That's at CliffCentral.com.
How the grill is self-healing. I was like, what?
I know. Dude, crazy, right?
I want to be self-healing. Teach me, BMW, how to self-heal, because that is some fire, just tech, just all over that vehicle. Nah, definitely worth the checkout.
G-Star says, please get Douglas Murray on with his new book, The War on the West. He is fascinating. I actually had Douglas Murray on my TV show last year that we did with ENCA. He was one of my favorite guests. I love having conversations with him. And I think we also spoke to him a while ago on cliffcentral.com. But it's worth getting him back in. He's just the most interesting guy, very laid back. He's extraordinarily articulate and eloquent, and just has – I actually prefer listening to him than I do reading him. So I've got War on the West. It's something that I'm going to read, but I'm actually feeling like in his case, because he's just such a great speaker, that it might be worth listening to the audiobook. Lebang, when you read an audiobook – by listening to it, do you feel like you?
Yeah, I don't read audiobooks. I listen to.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. When you listen to an audiobook, do you feel like you're cheating? Do you feel like you're not really doing the proper?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I feel like a lot is being taken away from the experience, because when I read it, like with my own, you know, I'm in charge.
Yeah.
I imagine how it is. It's my voice. When it's an audiobook, it's like, it's really good. There's a time and place, like, you know, in transit, blah, blah, blah. So there's definitely like a place for it. But I'm such a sucker for just the way things were done, dude. I have to sit, even ebooks, yeah. like are really quite difficult for me to get into. Like, if push comes to shove, I'll do it. But I'm the girl who's sitting at home with the book open versus, you know, on my tablet or on my little Kindle or whatever they call it. I'm just a sucker for how things were done. So, yeah.
100% right. Just to complete the conversation about Douglas Murray, G-Star says, I'm busy with his book, Madness of Crowds. Well, that's the last one that we spoke to him about last year. And it's that's a really good book, by the way, especially if you're interested in this idea of how social media, and in particular Twitter, has changed the way that people deal with certain complicated subjects. Amazing book. So take a look, because that is really worth reading. If you're looking for something to read, and Madness of Crowds is not very long. It's not a difficult book. It's not a long, complicated tome that you have to get through. So go and get an eyeful of that, or an earful if you prefer, because it's a really good book. All right. As I said, we'll... No, go for it.
No, I'm just thinking, I'm trying to fill up my kids' bookshelves just because, you know, it's the right thing to do. And I was thinking about the concept of a baby shower, about how, like, I've had so many baby showers already. Well, I've only had two, I mean, but still, like, one really is enough. After you have more and more kids, it's like, it becomes a whatever thing. But I'm thinking of just asking my friends to just sort of, like, each just send me a book for my kids that my kid would like to read as they grow or whenever. That's just like, you know, what I'm going to do. I don't want to have a whole event. I don't want to have a whole party. It's just going to be, hey, Lemon, when's the baby due? Baby due's in July. Send a book over.
Right.
That's how I fill up the bookshelf.
Well, funny, I was with the nephews on Mother's Day, and the eldest one is now 8, so he'll be turning 9 in January next year, and he is he loves books, and my brother and sister-in-law, to their credit, have been reading him a lot of really cool books, and he's been reading them himself, and he's reading Roald Dahl, which I grew up with. That, I mean, that guy was just unbelievable. So whenever I think of kids' books, I think of him. And I just loved all those stories as a child. I couldn't get enough of them. I can still remember some of it almost off by heart in my head. So you know how you can remember certain rap songs? I remember certain, like, Roald Dahl books almost verbatim.
Yeah, I remember just getting, like, every single Disney book delivered to my house every month, a new one. That was, like, the big thing for us. Like, we had, like, a whole collection, and it was a whole vibe. But I think now we can definitely up the ante a bit, you know, just take it a step further. These kids are smarter, they've got more access, blah blah blah. We can definitely push it a bit, you know?
For sure.
That's the vibe. Yeah.
And these days you don't even need to, like, buy the actual book. You can just get the Kindle and read it to them or whatever. So there are ways to do it. But I think there's something nice about actual kids' books on a bookshelf in their room. I mean, there was no night that I was a child that I didn't go to sleep reading something. And I think that that's probably one of my favorite things when I think back of my childhood. It also gives you a really good general knowledge, you know. Nobody really tests general knowledge at school. So it's something useful to have. It's something useful to have as one of the weapons in your arsenal, because when someone talks about something and you know nothing about it, you always feel like, this conversation doesn't really include me. But if you have a reasonably good general knowledge, you'll never have that feeling. And it's nice to be able to jump in on a discussion around everything from marine biology to, you know, water systems to technology to history to anything, pretty much. It's great. And I do think,
and you don't have to know, like, everything about the subject, but, like, knowing just, you know, enough, even if it's just a little bit, for you to put in your two cents, I think it's cool. It's showing the interest in whatever the topic is what, and that's what books do. That they make you interested in a variety of things that would have probably never landed in your lap.
And absolutely,
it teaches a lot more than one would think. There's a huge, like, gap between kids that grow up reading and kids that don't. I mean, you remember when we spoke to the first lady? She was just like, you know, that early care development phase.
Oh, yes.
If already at that stage, if the kids aren't even, there's no book in sight, then the long-term effects of that kind of thing. Oh,
yeah. And in South Africa, we've got to take seriously the problem of very young kids whose early childhood development, particularly in education, is just a non-starter, because those kids, you don't have a chance then. you're finished. If you don't start off with that stuff, if it isn't part of your life when you that age, and we're talking about the formative years, somewhere between what, like 2 and 6, right, Lebang?
Yes. Yeah.
That's when it all happens.
Early childhood.
Mm-hmm. All right. So,
like the most important part.
A couple of cool things that are, you mentioned a gap in people's education. Well, how's this for a gap? This is a TikTok video someone sent me. Take a look at this. This is entertaining as hell. So it's this girl and she's drawn a face around her mouth, but she's got a gap between her teeth. And then it's almost like she's got this other creature living on her face. Look at this. I smack you in my arms, ho. Yeah, it tastes so lekker. In your body, a sauce, a GPI gebouw. So it's a South African TikToker. I can't at Prachtach, I think, is the actual.
She's super talented.
Now this would make me think again about, I'm not going to, but it would make me think about going onto TikTok. I mean, there's some really talented, funny stuff going on there. We always give TikTok shit, but there's some clever people doing some amazing things, and they're getting thousands and thousands, if not millions, of views from all over the world, right?
Yeah, it's literally a downward spiral. I must warn you right now, Gareth, before you even think of going on TikTok, you'll go there with the intent of just checking out maybe one or two things, and you'll spend 3 hours there because these kids are so good. I promise you, these kids just come up with these things. And I don't think, you know, we need to be on every single social media platform. You know, we don't have to be a part of everything, but TikTok is just a world on its own, and it's just way too addictive. Like, just don't do it. It's a trap.
Well,
it's a trap.
I'm not going to, I promise. But we were talking to Dr. Hanan yesterday about the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial, which has been going on now, and it's pretty much all anyone's talking about. It's what everybody wants to discuss because it's these embarrassing celebrities doing dumb stuff. But he hadn't watched any of it, so he wasn't paying attention to any of that at all. And then he went down the rabbit hole, and he says he only got to sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning. After starting at like 10 o'clock at night, because, you know, again, once you start with this stuff, you can't stop. It's like a drug. You get drawn into the story. And then before you know it, hours and hours have gone by. So just quickly, this is kind of an interesting story. There is a push at the moment for South Africa to get an extra public holiday in May. So before you jump up and down and say, yay, that would be great. Or you become one of those grumpy people who goes, not another public holiday. Let's just look at where it comes from. So the Congress of Traditional Leaders, that's Contra Lessa, has called for the introduction of a new public holiday to celebrate and acknowledge African spirituality. So they want to call it Ancestors Day, and they say it would fall on the 8th of May, be dedicated to reflection, prayer, and the appeasement of our ancestors. So no chance of it happening this year because we're already on the 10th, but they are looking at recognizing the public holiday and are pushing for a formal change at national government level. We believed it should not only end there where the 8th of May is merely recognized as Ancestors Day. We think it needs to be taken further and be made a public holiday, said the Secretary General of Contra Lessa. He added that while Ancestors Day involves some ritual performances, people are expected to select the ways in which they want to remember and reflect their own ancestors. We will not prescribe to people because it goes in accordance with the rituals and customs of each and every family. So we already have, just to give you the overall view, 12 public holidays, 7 of which have already happened, including an additional day off to celebrate Workers' Day, which fell on a Sunday, remember? It was last week. Now, the next public holiday is Youth Day. That's on the 16th of June.
Of June, yebo.
Consecutive public holidays are significantly impacting working arrangements and shifts, and a day off can impact economic productivity. It can help stave off fatigue-related issues too, so there are goods and bads to this. But according to this story, we may need another one on the 8th of May. What do you reckon?
Can I just say, so I think if there was ever a time for us to get to learn more about our ancestors and learn more about really the impact and where we come from, you know, in the past with regards to how we got here, there's no better time than now. So many of us are disconnected, Gareth, from our ancestors. There's been so much so many lies and just like weird negative connotations built around the concept of ancestors as a overall. And I think that has like a direct link with how you live your life. And this is my personal belief, which I'm not imposing on anyone, but mm-hmm. I think the time is now that definitely, yes, let's use this as a learning moment. If you don't know much about your ancestral lineage, blah, 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 I think a whole public holiday is absolutely necessary because there's so many of us who are just so disconnected. And in your life, you see the problems that you have as a result of not knowing who the fuck you are and where you come from.
Yeah, should it be a public holiday?
Yes. The majority of this country is living in disarray, and a big part of it is just that disconnect. I think if we can just figure it out again and just go back to the drawing board, like, okay, cool, what is actually the truth? And, you know, what's what, where am I from, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Misconceptions around ancestry, I think so.
You know, the point of Youth Day is lost on most people. Most people don't remember what happened on June 16th, all those years ago. The point of Freedom Day is lost on some people. We just went through Freedom Day. Point of Workers' Day is lost on some people. I wonder how long it would take us to just treat Ancestors' Day like just another day, and people won't actually spend it doing any of that stuff. You can do that every single day if you want to now. You don't need a public holiday to do it. So I don't know what difference it would make.
Well, look, for me, I think it's like a mass thing, right? So a lot of people don't know the reason why things aren't going well for them. They kind of in the dark about the ancestral concept, everything. They just don't know anything about it. And also, unfortunately, they don't have the ability to just think for themselves and say, hey, let me actually go figure this shit out, because they've just been so torn apart from it. I think making it a national holiday will even plant that bit of a seed that may say, hey, dude, just, you know, go check this out. Maybe this could help you in any other way.
I would take that seriously if people even knew who their grandparents were. Then I'd say, oh, well, you care about your ancestors. Because, you know, I care about like family history, and I care about history, full stop. And there are so many people who go on about like, oh, the ancestors, white and black people, by the way, are like, I come from Europe, I come from Vikings, or I'm from the Zulu tribe that was in this part of KwaZulu-Natal, and we conquered the Mtetwas or whatever. These people don't know that for a fact. They've never gone to the trouble of finding out. These records are around, by the way. It doesn't take a huge amount of effort. When I was a school kid at high school, I went to the Human Sciences Research Council in Pretoria. They've got a big library. You don't have to pay money to join. It's free. And they've got all these books that deal with records that go back 100 years. They'll tell you who your grandparents and your great-grandparents were. You can look up birth, marriage, death certificates. You can find this information. It is available for everyone in South Africa. And they tell me ancestors, they care about the ancestors. You ask them, well, what was your grandmother's name? And they're like, I don't know. Then you don't care about your ancestors. So don't give me that shit. Don't believe it.
Yeah, I just don't believe those
people.
That's totally cool. And that's your experience. But like, Gareth, not everybody does or doesn't know their grandparents by choice. Some people are legit like stripped away from their parents and grandparents. So for them, it's a case of, it's not that I don't want to know these people. I'm not being naive and not knowing them and not knowing my lineage. Doc, for fuck's sake, I don't have a choice. I don't know them because they're just not there.
That's a great excuse. You can look this stuff up. And frankly, a lot of people have relatives who are alive who they don't even ask. They're not even curious about this stuff. They've got living relatives. They've got living ancestors. They never ask a question because they're not even curious about it. But then they want to have Ancestors Day. Bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on that. I say a lot of people just want a free day off. I also think a lot of people claim tradition and spirituality, but they have no idea of how they claim it. They're not even sure where they come from. They're not even sure which languages their grandparents used to speak. They're not sure what part of the country they used to come from. They don't even know where they're buried some of the time. So if you don't know that stuff, then why should I take you seriously when you talk to me about Ancestors Day? Because I can tell you who my ancestors are. I've done the research myself. Hard work me. I went and found out. No, I went and found out. I was the one who drew up these documents. I was the one who looked them up. I was the one who went to these libraries as a kid before Google existed for me to go and look for this stuff. You want to talk about ancestors? Then fine. I'll talk to you about ancestors, but you have to be a serious person. If you're not serious about it, I'm not going to take you seriously.
Yeah, not everybody will take it seriously. I also recently just started like the journey, because growing up, Gareth, for me, ancestors was always just a dark, negative thing. It just was so directly linked to witchcraft that I wasn't even allowed to tap into that side. And it pains me that only in my later years, when I'm like 30, do I realize that actually that's not true. That's a whole lot of hogwash that I was just fed growing up so that I can just believe in this one thing. And only now I'm like, actually, there's a whole lot going on that is so directly connected to me and how I live my life that I don't know about up until now. And if, for example, like I know I want to raise my kids and I want them to know all about it from the beginning. It's not just, you know, this one-sided thing. And lucky them or hardworking them or whatever, because they'll get access to that.
Sure.
But so many of us didn't even have that access. So what I'm saying is, let's have this Ancestors Day just so that we can even plant it in people's minds that, yo, bro, go check this out. It could be a real thing. And you're absolutely right. Half of people won't give a rat's ass. They're not going to care. For them, it's just going to be another excuse to just kind of continue on with life. But for those of us who are genuinely curious and want to reconnect with who we really are, I think let's just do it.
Yeah, look, if you're really interested in it, I think it will draw you in and you will be absorbed by it. And unfortunately, also, a lot of people only really become interested in where they come from when they're old. So, you know, the young people, if you don't ask your grandparents while they're still alive and while you're still young, you're going to miss out on this stuff, those stories. And really, you know, if we're going to talk about your ancestral heritage, you don't have to go back 400 years. You don't have to go back 200 years. You can go back to your grandparents and maybe, if you're lucky, your great-grandparents. Those are your ancestors. There are only 16 of them. And you know who they are. You can look them up if you don't. They're within living memory. There are documents to prove they existed. No matter where you come from or how disassociated your family's been from each other or which aunt lied or which uncle didn't tell the truth about who their real father was, that stuff's going on. But if you want to know, you'll find out. And you can't tell me that you care about your ancestors, but you don't know who the hell they were, because then you don't care about them. You don't. Finish and klar. If you really care about it and you want to have an Ancestors Day, and I'm all for an Ancestors Day if it's going to mean people will actually spend time talking about it, but I don't think a lot of people really care. I think they pretend to care. They say that this is part of their heritage because it makes them sound like they're in touch with their roots, but they're not really. They don't really know where they come from. They don't really care where they come from. They're so focused on today that their interest in history is like this small. And then they want to claim like all this stuff as well. You know, it's these people who claim, oh, no, I come from these great people, but they don't really. They don't even know. They don't even know who the grandparents are.
The real danger is really the people that take advantage of that, right? So you and I know very well that most people don't care. Mm. The people that take advantage of the fact that people don't care are the dangerous ones, because they go around just spewing absolute hogwash.
For sure.
And we believe everything we see, right? So we sit there and we go, yes, that is true. If I do want this and this, this is all I need to do. Whereas it's really not that. And it's not an easy concept. It is a difficult and sensitive one. That could also reveal some things about you and your family that you don't want to know. That are actually like,
you know, they're still, I mean, we always refer to this, and it's such an interesting idea, is that maybe a fifth to even a quarter of people, they think their dad is that guy, but it's actually not. That's an interesting idea. Throw that in there because, you know, that's, for example, if you're Jewish, the reason that you're Jewish is you get it through your mother, because your mom can't really lie if you're born from her, but she can lie about who the father is. And you never really know for 100% certainty who the father is, right? This has always been a problem throughout history.
Yeah, it's one of those global, it is not unique to South Africa. Although, you know, I could beg to differ, but yeah, it's just one of those global things that we have to deal with.
Well, we got a lot to talk about, and I suppose that this is a great intro to what we're going to talk to Brett about this morning, because Brett comes from a really interesting background. We spoke to him not so long ago, sport, marketing, fashion, art, and a whole lot more. He's been a Springbok swimmer. He's been a massage therapist, a model, a stylist, TV presenter. But we chatted to him just a short while ago about a whole lot of other stuff. And then we ran out of time before we got to this subject, because I think this is something that a lot of people want to know about. Brett really wants to talk about the process of getting a vasectomy in South Africa. So he's going to join us now to talk to us a little bit about this. Hey, Brett, nice to see you again. How are you?
Morning, team. Nice to see you guys again. It's great to be back.
Yeah, nice to see you, man. Listen, I'm sorry we ran out of time last time because this is such an interesting subject. Vasectomies in South Africa. Have you managed to get a vasectomy?
Yes, I am 33 days in to the first operation. So yeah, it's done.
Wow.
All right, so
it's great. I'm so excited about it, yeah.
All right, so you got your vasectomy, but now tell me how difficult it was to actually get that, because apparently it's not as easy as people think.
Well, it's incredibly difficult. It's I wanted to get a vasectomy first of all, but I also wanted to get a vasectomy to see how the process is for somebody who's not like on Discovery Health or something like that with a lot of money, because you can pay for it. There's a lot of people up there who do pay for it. I think it's between 5,000 and 10,000 rand.
Okay.
And you can just get it, and that's great. But if you follow the free route, which is the route that I followed, which is great. So I also feel a little bit like I'm biting the hand that feeds me, because I need to go back for a test in 2 months' time. But it was a nightmare. There's a few reasons why. So the one reason is it's very difficult to even find out where to get a vasectomy. It's bizarre, but that's true. I eventually found via a article somewhere that they were doing free ones at Tigerberg Hospital. So I did some research and I found a guy there. And so I don't want to make this story too long, but essentially I met the guy and he told me, listen, you're going to have to see a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise you can't do it. And I'm like, okay, cool. I mean, to an extent, I understand. But I also feel like, you know, if men in South Africa don't want to have babies, let's not encourage them to have babies. No disrespect intended, but you know, we've got a problem. I got asked 5 times if I'd seen a psychologist by the time I'd actually, when I was in the hospital, when I finally got my appointment.
I want to stop you there because this is amazing to me. You know, no one sits anyone down when they are going to have children and says to them, hey, are you sure you want to have kids? Are you sure? Are you sure you want to have kids? Are you sure you want to have kids? Are you sure? Have you seen a psychologist about the fact that you want to have kids? Because people, and I mean, listen, you get people who've thought about it and who have planned all of it, and you get those people who life happens to them, and I get both cases in either situation. But the reality is, Brett, won't you just hold that microphone away from your jersey because it keeps scratching.
Sorry, dude. Yeah, I did that last time as well.
Yeah. And when you talk about this with people, they're like, oh, no, you need to see a psychologist if you want to have your vasectomy, but you don't have to see anyone if you're going to have a kid. Which to me is a bit strange. I mean, you need to be checked out by someone when you're making, because a lot of people make very bad decisions. I mean, some people are smart enough to make the right decisions, but a lot of people have no idea what they're getting into. And it's interesting to me that you were asked 5 times about a vasectomy, but no one's sitting prospective parents down and saying to them, hey, have you seen a psychologist about the fact that you want to have a kid?
Dude, my pants were down. My pants were down. And he was about to cut me.
Yeah.
And he asked me again, are you sure you saw a psychologist?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And it was crazy. But from that first phone call, from that first meeting, which was quite a pleasant meeting, actually. You know, it was in Tigerberg Hospital, which is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. It's like mazes everywhere, which is very concerning for healthcare. But I spoke to him that day, and he told me I'd need to speak to a psychologist, their psychologist. I never heard from the guy for 6 months after that. And I was following up. It's a WhatsApp line. So I was following up often, like every 2 weeks. I was like, hello, Mr. Johnson. Hello, Mr. Johnson. Hello, Mr. Johnson. Never got back to me. And he phoned me about 6 weeks ago. Well, it's not six weeks ago. It was 3 days before my vasectomy. He phones me on the Friday and he's like, hello, Mr. Brett. It's Mr. Johnson here. I'm just checking that you've got your vasectomy. Did we organize that vasectomy for you? And I'm like, no, you didn't. Sorry, I'm going to get rid of my dog at some point. No, I didn't get my vasectomy. He's like, oh, excellent. Thanks very much. Bye. And then he hangs up on me. And I'm like, dude. So I phoned him back. I'm like, no, you didn't get me the vasectomy, man. And he's like, oh, when can you come? And I was like, when can you take me? He's like, Monday. So that was, and it was a Friday. So it's like, okay, fine. I'll come in. So, yeah. I arrived, and it turns out it's like it's the procedure. You just can walk in anyway.
So let's just go into a little bit of the background here. Why do you think it's important for you to get a vasectomy, and what was your thinking? You obviously don't want kids, and it's something that's not interesting to you. It's probably something that you've thought about quite a lot, because I don't imagine these kinds of decisions are taken lightly. But give us a little bit of insight into how your mind is when you want to go and have a vasectomy. A lot of people have them because they've already got a kid or two and they don't want any more. Mm. A lot of people have a problem with the idea of having children because they think Earth is full. You know, Professor David Benatar at UCT is the world's most famous antinatalist. He believes it's wrong.
Yeah.
He thinks it's a cruel thing to bring another person into this world, which is the opposite of kind of what we're taught as you know, part, you know, whatever it is, general civilization. We're taught, bringing kids into the world is the best thing you can do. It's the most defining and important contribution you can make to the planet. So what's your thinking?
Well, I border on antinatalist. I'm very happy for people to have babies, but I think that, my personal view, of course, but I think the world is a disaster. I think it's awful. I think it's a horrible place to bring people into. That's like a very base level thing. And maybe that's really awfully cynical of me, but I think it's awful. I also think it's dying and it's becoming right wing and terrifying. And I think it's a big responsibility. I think it's a huge responsibility to bring children into the world. I don't think it's a small deal. There are thousands and thousands of kids out there who need homes already. And if I want to have a kid at some point in my future, I will try and adopt one with blessings. That would be wonderful, you know? That's how I'd like to have a kid. But, excuse me, but I don't want to put the control of my seed into anybody else's hands. I want to be in control of my procreative abilities.
So apparently apparently some of these vasectomies are reversible, right?
Yes, I actually wanted to ask about that because, I mean, I'm on baby number 5 and I've been begging my partner to please get a vasectomy because I just think,
I know how you can help with that.
Like, we're just weighing out the options, but he's scared because he's like, the reversal rate or the percentage of being able to reverse it is what scares him because he might want to have more kids in future. I'm like, okay, good on you, bro.
How many more?
That great story. But so the reversal thing is like, it's a real thing because it's all fun and well when you're still young and you're like, oh, I never want to have kids, bro. Screw this. And then you turn 50 and you're like, shit, I've got no one. I've done nothing. Let me try something. And then you want to have kids. So like, how's the reversal thing? And I mean, obviously you're not interested in it at all, but as a concept.
I think he's frozen there. I think you're both frozen.
I lost you for a second there.
No, go ahead, Brett. The reversibility of this thing, did they talk to you about that at all?
Yeah, I mean, they did. And the very first thing that they say to you is like, do not, under any circumstances, look at this as a reversible procedure. Like, Jesus. They're very clear about that. It's like, I mean, sure, it can be done. Maybe it can't be done on you. It can't be done on everyone. But it can be done at great expense. If you want to have a baby, then sure, maybe you should have to prove that you want to have a baby by spending 50,000 rand to tie your tubes back together again. Mm. But but no, they encourage you to think of it as a permanent procedure.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things that I kind of just disagree with on a fundamental basis. If you just take the evidence of the fact that it's better to be alive now than it has ever been in human history, it's easier to be a human being now than it's ever been in human history. We're freer than we've ever been across the world by a measurable degree. People are less impoverished and less miserable. I mean, they're not necessarily less miserable psychologically because a lot of people are still looking for a purpose in their life. But I think the idea that the world is worse, that's your perception of it, clearly,
sure,
Brett.
That's
how you see the world. And if you see the world that way, thank God you're not going to have children because you'd imbue them with, you'd imbue them with that same view of the world, and then they'd grow up distinctly more.
I think I'd imbue them with a little bit more reality than the world is a wonderful place.
Well,
the world is a wonderful place if you like.
Thank goodness, it's a moot point. because you won't be having
it. Sure, it is moot point. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, you have, I mean, I think really that at some level, and this is where I haven't got kids either, but I may want to change my mind at some point, like Lebang says. There is a general optimism to people who are investing in the future. And I'm not saying, you know, people who randomly have children by mistake and then are not responsible parents. I'm saying there are a lot of parents who do a lot of hard work, who put in the effort, who are raising great kids. And by and large, those are the kids who are going to take the world forward and will solve things like climate change and all kinds of other problems that we think are insurmountable at the moment. There was a kid born here in South Africa who's doing more for electric cars and climate change than anyone else in the world right now. We're not sure whether his mother or father had any idea when they made him that he would be making this kind of a difference. And you don't know, Lebang, one of your kids may end up growing up to change the world in some positive way too. But there is like this.
I know, that's happening. It's going to happen.
But either you take the view that the world is terrible, and I sometimes feel that way too, Brett, so I'm not having a go at you. Or you take the view that the world is good. And really, depending on that, you'll decide whether to leave a legacy or not. This is something we spoke about early this morning, right, Lebang?
100%. Like how you raise your kids and how you view the world is really the biggest part. And that's exactly why they asked you 5 times if you're sure about this. Because
guys, you're grossing me out, the both of you. It's so gross. Like, if you're not going to have a baby, it's so good that you're not bringing babies to the world because you're a bad person, Brett, because you don't see the world as a nice place. Come on, guys. The person's role in life is not to have babies. This is not the reason why we exist. And it's not to say that just because, you know, people don't want to have babies, that they're not going to, you know, you said earlier, Lebang, I'm like 35 and I have nothing and I have no one. Oh, so you're going to have a baby? That's your solution?
No, that's a terrible.
Your solution to I'm bored in life is like, oh, I'm going to have a baby? No.
Look, it happens.
If you want to have a baby, it has to be for a reason.
No, so, you're definitely right, Brett. It happens.
I'm not having a baby because the world's a terrible place. There are other reasons why I'm not having a baby.
Well, that's just part of
the story.
I'm just quoting you because you said that. So I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. But what do you think the purpose of life is then?
I don't think there is a purpose to life. I think, which I don't think is a bad thing. Because I don't believe in an afterlife or I believe in this, you know, if we're going to head back to that space, you know, that's a beautiful way of looking at life and what's the meaning of it is. And if the meaning of it is to continue, your seed and your line, then that's cool. But for me, the meaning of my life is to give a positive. I'm talking about positivity while talking about how terrible the world is. But it's to leave a positive impact on it, and how I choose to leave a positive impact is different. Mm. And you know, I find meaning in my life through my friends, through the family that I do have, through art, through culture, and through my connection with it, through creating things, things that are not babies. I think there's a lot that you can do with life that has nothing to do with babies or procreation.
I don't disagree with you, but it does sound like that you even caught yourself out there with a little bit of cognitive dissonance. I mean, it does sound to me like, you know, there's this fine line you have to walk. You might not believe in kids, and I know lots of people who don't want to have children and who cite, you know, all the terrible kids in the world and all the horrible things. And I don't think you're an idiot for saying those things. I really think that that's all valid as part of the argument. But you got to be careful not to sound like a complete nihilist, because nihilists invariably, no matter how much they protest that they're having meaningful lives and that they're happy and that they enjoy what they're going through, very many of them are suicidal and not particularly thrilled about the fact that they exist in the first place. I mean, that's, you know, part of nihilism is this idea of, well, whatever. There's no point to any of this. There's no reason for me to be good or bad. There's no reason for me to add a positive contribution or to participate in any
meaningful
way.
What's your meaning for life then, Gareth? You know, like the same question, like what's the meaning of life then for you?
Well, I think we should all try to at least leave the earth a little bit better than we found it. Maybe you add, you mentioned art. Maybe you you paint something beautiful and you leave that behind. Maybe your contribution is that
you're giving the same answer I did, right?
Yes, I'm well aware of that. That's why I said to you, I don't disagree with you. Maybe your contribution is that you leave behind some discovery. Maybe your contribution is that you make some people laugh and you make some people cry and you make some people think. I don't think those are bad things, but the greatest, invariably the greatest contribution, and I say this as someone who doesn't have kids, that you can make is by leaving the next generation of human beings.
Yeah, cool. I'm a bit like, I'm still taken aback a little bit by the idea of like not having a purpose. And like, obviously we all have gone through different experiences and we all, you know, view, it's all POVs at the end of the day. I just think like, I don't know if I'd be able to go through life literally just like knowing that I'm just doing this for the sake of doing, maybe we are in a simulation. If really there's no purpose, then kind of like, then what are we doing? Like, you know, then I may as well just walk in front of the bus tomorrow, because what is the end goal of what I'm doing? Is how I view it. And you're definitely right in that having children shouldn't be your thing. It can't be your thing. You still need to have your own personal thing going on. And maybe having kids is just the cherry on top, which is how I view it.
Listen.
And a lot of people believe that, you know, about me. It's like, oh my word, you have 5 kids. That's all you've got going on. Oh my word, no. These kids just make life that much nicer for me, that much more enjoyable for me.
You know what, Lebang, you say that. I met someone not so long ago, and he was saying to me, when he thinks back, this takes a huge amount of honesty, and not a lot of parents are willing to say this. He reckons if he could have it all over again, he wouldn't have had his kids. Now that's a hard thing to say, because it's socially unacceptable to say it. And that's why I'm interested in Brett's point of view on this, because and we're not dealing with easy answers and easy questions here. This is tough stuff. This has to do with existentialism. Yeah. This is like the stuff that people ask themselves when they're in their quietest and most private moments. It's like, what do I want from life? What do I derive meaning and purpose from? And a lot of people don't have that. It may be kids for some. It may not be for others. And I'm curious as to what drives everybody. I said earlier, Brett, maybe it's part of the answer that I should give you about purpose. I do think we're in a bit of a simulation, and I don't mean that in some kind of conspiracy theory way. I mean like you're playing a game, right? You're the player one in your own game, and you're going to go through this life and you're going to play this game. And hopefully along the way, you're going to have interesting experiences, connect with people, and have a full experience of being human. You're going to have the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows and the excitement and the pain and all of that stuff. And I think that the ultimate reason for being is to have that mortal experience and to make the most of it. Learn as much as you can. Try and do good if you can do good. Try not to do bad if you can avoid doing bad. But along the way, for some people, it's also creating new life, which is truly miraculous. And for some people, it's avoiding making new life, because you don't feel that your new life is going to be either raised properly, or it's going to have a good chance, or you think the environment is not conducive. These are the questions that ancient humans used to ask themselves, and that we're still asking ourselves thousands of years later.
And also it's what we're doing right now, right? The three of us are having a conversation and we're sharing our experiences with one another so we can get different perspectives on the same thing. So I believe that there's somebody out there right now, Brett, that's listening and has genuinely just been considering a vasectomy, like, oh, you know what? I just can't do it. I'm not going to do it for whatever reason. And you had to be here right now sharing your story so that they can make a better decision on what they need to do. So whether you want to believe that or not, that in itself falls as a part of the purpose. The part of the purpose of us being here is those lived experiences, is sharing that. As you said, for you, it's your friends, it's the this, it's the that. That's a part of it. It's speaking your story into the universe so that whoever needs to freaking hear it right now will hear it and make their decision. Say, you know what? That bread guy this morning on Cliff Central, man, he made so much sense for me. That's the direction I'm going to go. So that in itself counts as a purpose, believe it or not. That is that.
100%. Connection and human connection is vital to me and to the world. And I really appreciate that you said that to me. Thank you. Another person that I hope is listening are the people who are responsible for helping people get vasectomies in this country, because I think, you know, like,
Brett,
you know,
hold the microphone out here, because it keeps rubbing on that jersey. Sorry, dude. Sorry, there. Yeah. Driving me crazy.
Yeah, so something that I was thinking about there is that, you know, the people that do need vasectomies, you know, like we're having the beautiful ideological discussion, but about the people who need a vasectomy, you know, or you know, let's talk about a person who's not using condoms out there, who doesn't want to use condoms. And, you know, like it or not, there are people out there who are like that. I'm certainly one of those people, and that is part of my story. You know, a guy like that, so let's say he wants to do the right thing. He's like, cool, I don't want to have any kids. Or I don't want to have any more kids. Or my wife's body can't handle another pregnancy. They've said it's a bad idea, but I still love my wife and I want to make love with her. Mm-hmm. And he goes to the clinic and they're like, no, the psychologist says that you can't have a vasectomy, or he can't afford it, or he can't find the people. And now we've got a person out there who's having another baby, a person who maybe shouldn't be having a baby and doesn't want to, and is therefore not going to be a great parent. Not therefore, but. Mm-hmm. It's likely that there are many, many unwanted kids out there that could be, and they destroy the parents' lives, they destroy the kids' lives. I'm saying destroy, right? But, you know, within reason. You know,
are you going around evangelizing for vasectomies? I mean, is this something that you believe should be spread around, or is it just a decision you've made for yourself? And you feel this morning, you feel this morning that you just want to let other people know how it goes, but you're not trying to convince them to have one.
No, I'm not out here convincing anybody to do anything. You know, I'm not an evangelist about anything except for trying to be a good person and to be kind to people. The only thing that I care about is actually telling my story and letting other people out there know that, you know, if you want to get this done, you must get it done. Like, you know, it's sore. It's painful. It's not a nice thing. You know, I don't want, you know, people out there like, oh, vasectomy is not painful. It's painful. It's not a nice thing to do.
Did you have to sit on one of those round cushions with a hole in the middle?
No, I actually could have just driven home straight afterwards. Luckily, I didn't. They gave me these pills, which were very, very nice. And I'm glad that I didn't have too many of those, to be honest, for real. But you know, like it's something that can be important. And I think people out there should, you know, if they want to be able to get one, should be able to get it.
Right.
It's good for everyone in that regard.
So let's recap here.
For vasectomies right now, it's just so bad. Like, it doesn't look good. Nobody's like really putting any glitter on it and wrapping it up in a nice bow and making it sound like something that you should even want to do. They really just make it sound like, you know, well, it's the woman who should be taking contraceptives. You know, she's the one who's responsible for it's her body that. So it's not surprising that vasectomies are just. You know, like you said, it was hard to find out where you can get one. They're not promoting it. They're not like, you know, they just like hush hush about it.
It's
annoying.
Sorry for interrupting. You hit a nail right on the head there. Something that I'd forgotten to speak about up to this point was two of my women friends out there. They started crying when I told them. And not crying in like, oh my God, you're not going to have babies, but crying because they were so proud. And so happy that a person out there was taking the responsibility of contraception out of their hands, out of the chemicals of their body's hands, you know. So many of the women I know take the pill because they have to, because they're afraid that they're going to get accidental pregnancies from men who are not careful. And they were beside themselves. They were so happy. It was quite a moving moment. And a few have said, oh, thank you for doing this. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for me. But I appreciate that this makes you happy. And I'm interested in for you, Lebang, like some of your girlfriends or yourself, you know, how does that feel regarding the responsibility of contraception?
No, it's a huge deal. It is a massive deal. As I'm saying to you, like on a more personal scale between me and my partner, I've said to him, you have to go and get a vasectomy between the two of us. Historically, it's always been on me. It's always, I need to do this. From a young age already, in school, they're already teaching you that if you don't want to fall pregnant, you are on your own responsible for how this is going to work out. So the fact that now, you know, the option really is being broadened and really now guys can even start taking a certain pill. Why isn't that in the newspapers? Why isn't anybody making a noise about that? It will literally free so many like young women from insecurities that they are raised with.
Listen.
And they have to ultimately just inherit because of this concept.
I just want to say at this point, because there are a lot of people like Z here, for example, saying, are we talking eugenics today? I don't know if she's being sarcastic or not. The fact is this, like, you should not be going around convincing anyone else whether or not to have kids. There shouldn't be a rule. There shouldn't be a government who decides whether or not you can have kids, because we know that the government can't even decide how to spend the tax money they steal from us in a responsible way anyway. You have to be responsible for yourself. And the reality of this is, like, there's a part of me that is enormously impressed, and I don't mean to patronize you in any way. I hope that's not how it comes across here, Brett, but you took control of your own destiny. You made a decision. This is it. The line ends with you. You're going for the vasectomy. You're going to have it done. You feel you're making a positive contribution to the world by getting yourself this operation, which has been
DNA trade.
No, which has been a tough. I mean, I don't think that you were like nonchalant about it. I don't think you didn't take this seriously and think about the consequences. But at the same time, you thought about the consequences that might have happened if you didn't do this, which I think is responsible. So again, if you want to do it, do it. And I just love the fact that I've got both of you here on the show. One of you has 5 kids. The other one, who's never going to have any kids. But who says, and I took note of this too, Brett, that there are millions of kids all over the world who don't have parents, who are looking for someone to look after them. And if you decide one day you do want to have kids, you adopt a child. I think that's a tremendous contribution to humanity. Yeah. As much of a contribution, if not more, than just making a child by mistake, which so many people seem to do. And I think that's also noteworthy. So, you know, we can criticize each other. We can argue about whether or not it's right to do this, right to do that. But in the end, it's down to every single person. And if you make a decision that you feel is the best decision for you, you have my support.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't feel patronized at all. I feel, you know, like this is a beautiful discussion. This is why we're here. This is why we exist, you know. It's beautiful to have these discussions and to disagree with each other. And I appreciate that that you see it that way. Can you imagine like the joy and the beauty of adoption? I mean, it's a couple of friends, they're a lesbian couple, and they adopted a baby, and they there was a documentary done about them called Waiting For, and it's one of the most magical moments I've ever seen in my life, to see this these two women see their child for the first time. And to see that connection, like it was just instant. It was so beautiful. And I just can't help thinking that child, man, that child is saved.
It's got a chance.
That child is saved.
Well, we talk in politics about privilege. The real privilege in this world is growing up with both your parents and having them actually love you and love each other. It's a very rare thing that very few people have. By comparison, Scott says 100%, I have an adopted son. Best decision ever. And then Sweet Pea brings up something which may make some people uncomfortable. My cousin was born 10 years after my uncle had a vasectomy. He had it redone when she was 3. So there are mistakes. Sometimes it doesn't work 100%, right?
Oh, that's adorable. Well, I have to go back in 2 months' time to test this. So basically, you have to ejaculate 24 times.
Oh, wow.
So I'm practicing a lot.
You should have led with that.
I've got some calluses on this hand here.
It's wow.
Hard to
how long do you have to what's the period of time that those 24 ejaculations have to occur in?
About 3-4 days, Gareth.
Jesus, you're going to be
a busy man.
Wow.
No, it's actually old science. It's 3 months, but they encourage you to ejaculate 24 times before that 3 month period. So in like 1.5 months time, I have to go back and give them a sample to make sure that there are no little swimmers in there.
And how far are you now? If you don't mind me asking, Brett.
I'm about five weeks in. But let me tell you guys, like the funniest part was like part of the operation. So you're awake during the whole thing and you lift that that hospital gown. So they give 2 injections, one injection and they snip and they do the operation and then they inject, snip the other side. So he snips the first side and pulls the vas deferens out and I'm hearing things and it's uncomfortable, but it's not painful. And all of a sudden I hear, oops.
Oh my God.
And then a short intake of breath from the doctor. And then I hear the nurse go, ugh.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, oh my God. This nurse just went, ugh.
What happened? Oh my God. What was it?
So I just decided to be quiet. And then like about a minute later, I hear some fiddling around and I know what's happened, bro. He's dropped the tube into the sac. So he's had to go looking for it. Gareth, I love your face. And then he has to pull it out and he goes, oh, there we go. They're a bit slippery. I'm like, oh my
God. Oh, dude. Oh my God.
I've got the thrills just hearing my own story.
Oh no, that is absolutely terrifying. You know, I've just been completely put off. I'll take my chances.
Yeah, you've put those listening off vasectomies for good. Well done, Brett.
I'm not here to lie.
Well, listen, dude, I'm pleased we got to talk to you about this. It is such an interesting subject, and it's something I suppose a lot of people just don't think about until it eventually comes up on their menu. And the fact that you've gone ahead and done this, I mean, kudos to you. And that you can talk about it. Kudos.
I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Do you mind if I do a short plug? Nothing big deal.
What is it?
So I'm just we're doing an awesome thing on our Instagram. Mm-hmm. After this is in _ on color at the moment.
Okay.
We're actually going to be doing ancestors in the future, which is really exciting. But we're talking about color, its importance, and it's really exciting and fun stuff. And I think our listeners will enjoy. So it's at this is in _.
Very, very good. Cool. We'll go and take a look at that too. All right. Have an excellent morning, everybody. Thanks, we will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Good news for those people who were very, very nervous at the start of the show when Bitcoin was at 30,700. It's now at 31,700. So it's gone up. Yay, Bitcoin people. All right. I thought I'd throw that in case you're not feeling so great, you know, especially after you've had to hear about like balls being operated on. Anyway, thanks very much, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Good day.
Ciao, ciao. Bye.
Peace. CliffCentral.com.